UWA 517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative, we want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, Connor.
Ares 31, me neither.
There are 71 Papa Golf, good.
And there was anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There was 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Trump this. A UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. So yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy?
Yeah.
Did we just call about some UFOs or something?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same yeah. Airplanes.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, man, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. If you're a fan of the show and would like to help support the podcast by becoming a patron, head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast or hit the link below where you can find out about the show and the rewards available to you. Plus, as an added bonus, every new patron gets a shout out on the show. Tonight's guest is Marie, and she comes to us from Los Angeles. Since Marie was a young child, she has been able to see the dead and feel the emotions of the living. Growing up as an empath, Marie didn't know what was happening to her, and it made childhood difficult until she was able to understand and control the gift she inherited from her mother. Tonight she will share several paranormal experiences and a couple of UFO encounters. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your interesting encounters today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Would you like to start at the very beginning for us?
Yeah, absolutely. My mother was a very intense and powerful, very accurate, very just scary accurate psychic medium empath. She had always been this way ever since she was a child. And when she got older, she started taking classes with a man named Tony Liggett. He has he had classes in Florida at that time. And so my mother, before she moved to Florida, my mother lived in San Diego with my father. And my mother was she was born and raised in a very tiny little southern town in North Carolina. And she was severely dyslexic. She could barely read. She, a lot of times during their marriage, you know, they didn't have a TV, especially during their early years. They just did not have a TV or anything like that. So back in the mid 60s, I would say anywhere from 66 to 67, like 68, somewhere around there, her and my father were living in a little tiny apartment. They had just gotten married in San Diego. And my mother had 2 children before me, from her previous marriage. And so my mother had many, many experiences, paranormal wise throughout her life. And my mom was a very tough lady. Nothing scared her. She was never scared. I mean, literally never scared of anything. I saw that woman face down all kinds of stuff. But this one quote unquote UFO encounter, dream/encounter, terrified her. Even talking about it made her shake. She would shiver with fear. I always remembered that because, you know, my mom was not someone that scared easily. It would take a lot to scare her. And she was not that big of a woman. She's a tiny little 5'6" woman, but man, she was tough. And she stood her ground a lot of times in her life. But this one dream that she had back in the mid 60s, whenever she would talk about it, she would shake, tremble with fear. So I asked her, every once in a while I would ask her, "Hey mom, tell me about that dream." And she was always so terrified she was like, I don't want to talk about it. But occasionally she would tell me, and she would say, this was the dream that she had. One night she wakes up or feels like she's in a craft. And this is, 10 or so years before Close Encounters, before Whitley Strieber's Communion, before the grays are, sort of everyday vernacular imagery kind of thing. No one knows about the grays at this point. No one's really, unless, you've had an encounter. But at that point, this was before Star Trek even. So it was before anything like that. In fact, they still were, doing movies about giant ants, coming from Mars or something, called They Live or something like that. So this was kind of in those weird sort of early days of, aliens being robots and giant ants and things. They weren't the grays that people know now. So my mother found herself in a craft that she said was all brushed metal, which kind of looks like brushed aluminum, if you can imagine that. She says there was no buttons, there was no knobs, there was no levers, there was no doorknobs, there was nothing. Everything was very smooth, she said. And she found herself with this one gray. She said it looked just like what you see. She said, I don't know how I knew this because I didn't see it beforehand in a book or TV or anything like that. She goes, you just didn't see that kind of stuff back then. So she said, I was standing there with this gray, and this gray was taller, very much like in Close Encounters. This one gray that she was with was taller than the other grays around her. She said there was a bunch of little grays, wandering around. But this one gray that she was with, she had the impression that this was more of a higher ranking gray. It was taller. It was a bit taller than her. This one, she almost got the impression that it was almost female, even though we don't really have genders for them, that kind of is not, they don't, I guess maybe they don't have genders. Maybe they do. I don't know. But she says she had the kind of distinct impression that it was almost a female in a way. But this one gray that was taller than her was the one showing her around. It's like giving her a tour of this ship, the craft. And she said this one gray had very interesting clothing. It had on almost like a tunic type robe. And she said that the robe was blue, and it was almost made, the material, she said, was shimmered. It almost looked like it was made of metal. And she said, I've never seen this fabric before or since, but it looked like metal. And she said, it was nothing like we had here on Earth. And she said, this thing was wearing a tunic, and it had bell sleeves, and it had a belt in the middle, and this one gray was wearing it. And she said this one gray had almost like medals or some kind of awards or something, some kind of medals or something, like what general would wear on his jacket. She said it almost had those on the side, like some kind of insignia, something on the side. But she said this one gray was wearing a shimmery blue robe-like outfit. And she said this one gray was, it showed her in the palm of its hand, it almost looked like a coin, but it was much, much bigger. And this coin had the seal of the United States, the one with the eagle, with the shield, and in one hand is arrows, and the other hand is olive branch. Well, on this coin, there was something very, very, very similar. And my mother exclaimed in the dream, she looked at this gray, she goes, oh, that's exactly what we have at home. So that was one part of the dream. Then she said another part of the dream, she was literally in an elevator, in a lift with this gray. And they were going somewhere in this elevator lift. And she said there was no buttons, no nothing. She said this gray communicated with her telepathically. She then went in, this door opened. She said they walked into this room. And she said the room was, again, brushed metal. There was no protruding levers, knobs, nothing. No buttons, no nothing. She said everything was brushed metal, very smooth. She said the lights were very dim. And she said this gray walked over, the one with the robe, walked over to a control panel of sorts and waved its hand. She said, and it looked just like Close Encounters. In fact, when my mother told me, she said, when I finally saw Close Encounters, she said, I freaked out because that's exactly what I saw. The one gray with the long fingers, long skinny fingers. She said, that's what this gray had. It had long skinny fingers. And she said, this one gray, it literally moved its hand across the control panel and the whole entire room lit up. Buttons, like beepy little lights and things, and the lights all came on. It just completely powered this whole room. It was then that my mother, you know, she told me that's when she started to get scared. She said, then when I saw this thing turn on everything in the room just by the power of its own energy or thought or whatever it wielded, she said, that's when I realized this thing could kill me. That's when I realized that this thing is extremely powerful. Because she said this thing literally waved its hand over a control panel and the entire room lit up. And she said, I realized then that I was, you know, if I was in danger, I was screwed. I could probably be killed. So she then wakes up, she says, in her own bed. She then says that there was a window above my mom and dad's bed. And she says she jumped up and parted the curtains and looked outside because she was so sure she was going to see a craft out there. Because the dream, she said that, I don't know. My mom was always very level-headed. You know, she's always very logical and analytical, even though she was extremely psychic. She said, I don't know. I don't want to say that it was an encounter, but man, it was something very interesting and terrifying. And she said it was very real. She said, when I woke up, I felt like I had been on that craft and I was placed in that room again, you know, my bedroom. And she said, I thought for sure I was going to open that window and see a craft outside. Interestingly, before my mother married my father, had my two sisters, when she was she still lived in San Diego with her brother-in-law and sister. She had moved from North Carolina when she was 15 out to San Diego. And so she said that when she was around 16, 17, 18, she would babysit her nephews. She said that at night she would have these weird feelings to go outside. She just had these weird urgings to go outside and look at the sky. And when she did, she would see what looked kind of like the Phoenix Lights formation. She said she kind of would see that at night, and she never got a good feeling from it. She says she always got a very, like, it was malevolent, you know, like up to no good. And she said that these lights, sometimes she could, you know, sense a bad presence coming from them. So she said that at night, several times at night, you know, when she was a teenager, she would get this weird feeling to look outside, and she'd go outside on the back patio, and there was, you know, they lived right on a cliff, so you could see the whole sky, the whole city practically. And she said that she literally would just see these lights, and she would see them in an odd formation, just stationary lights. And she says she always got the creeps from that. Then years later, she has this dream/encounter. It was something that she never forgot, and she never wanted to talk about. I kind of had to force her to talk about it. But interestingly, I then grow up, you know, not trying to be into UFOs. I really didn't care about UFOs. I was actually quite scared of them myself. So I grow up, and I inherit my mother's empathic psychic. It's very strong in me. I grow up being so empathic. It was difficult to go to school. It was difficult to eat in restaurants. It was difficult just to be really anywhere, especially with groups of people. It was very difficult for me. I ended up having anxiety attacks. I would end up having to leave. I couldn't eat. Because I was just picking up on people's energy, good and bad. And I didn't know how to shut it off. So when I was a kid, I was just, the minute I'd walk into a room full of people, I was just bombarded with all their stuff and their energy. And it was terrifying, bewildering. You know, I didn't know what to do with all of that energy. I didn't know how to deflect any of that, push it away or block it. So I was always drained as a kid, constantly having to put up with that. But as the years went on, I racked up plenty of paranormal experiences, just going through life, just not even, like I said, not even trying. In fact, very much not trying to get any sort of paranormal encounters. You know, if I felt something, I would just walk away from it. I grew up wanting to be quote unquote normal. I knew I was different, but I didn't know how. Because back when I was growing up in the late 70s and early 80s, there was no real books for that kind of thing. You know, the Warrens, you know, God rest her soul, rest in peace, Lorraine Warren, who just passed away. You know, they were still considered kooks. You know, no one was taking them seriously. There was no paranormal shows, barely any books in the you know, library. There was really not much of that. So, and if you dare talk about it, then you were immediately ostracized or, you know, discredited. So I didn't really have anything to, I didn't have, like, it's not like the environment it is today where, you know, the atmosphere is just, you know, you turn on the show and there's all kinds of paranormal stuff. I didn't have that growing up. So I didn't know what the heck I was. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was just bombarded by either paranormal encounters or just constantly picking up on stuff, constantly knowing things before they happen, hearing conversations between people and being able to recount them and say, yeah, you were talking to so-and-so the other day and you said this about me. And they're like, oh my God, how did you know that? You know, and then growing up knowing when boyfriends are cheating, you know, knowing where they went and who they were with, all this very interesting stuff. And it's only been within the last few years that I've kind of sat down with myself and said, okay, Marie, you are empathic. You are intuitive. And then I just kind of leave it at that. I don't want to get too much into it. When I was about 18 years old, I had racked up a few paranormal experiences. I had lived in a couple of haunted houses, apartments, residences, what have you. And I had plenty of paranormal experiences under my belt to the point where I started to kind of clue in, okay, I think I'm attracting this stuff to me. I think this is what's happening. When I was about 18 years old, my mother was at that time going to a home church in this little town of Florida where we were living. And my mother, you know, expected me to go. And I finally just got so fed up because I knew I could see through everyone in that the home church. And I couldn't stand any of them because all of them were hypocrites and idiots and just terrible people. And I told my mom, I finally freaked out one night because we were walking up to the door and I finally just freaked out. I was about 17, 18 years old. And I said, that's it. I'm not going in there. I hate those people. I can't take it. You know, I can't stand them. And this stupid church thing is 4 hours long and I got to sit there and put up with these people. So I kind of had a freak out moment. And my mother said, okay, fine. You don't have to go in. You can stay out here, but just be careful because it was not the best neighborhood, but it wasn't terrible, but it was still, you know, dark. And so I was like, fine, whatever. So I stayed outside and then I was like, great. Yay. I'm outside. I don't have to put up with these people. Then I realized, oh great. I have to stay out here for 4 hours. So I'm there trying to make the best of a, you know, kind of a bad situation. I'm like, okay, so I'll just sit here for 4 hours and just enjoy my own company. I was in South Florida. They have these interesting little communities, planned communities, where they build these apartment buildings around like a man-made pond. There's a man-made pond in the middle. There's these duplexes or fourplexes. They call them quadplexes. And they're all around this. They're kind of scattered around this man-made pond in the middle. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go stand by the pond, which was right outside the home church's, you know, door. So I said, okay, fine, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to enjoy my own company. And then it wasn't even 20, 30 minutes that I'm standing out there. And I immediately sense this horrible dread, this fearful, horrible, creepy dread, this sense of danger, this sense of I am not safe. And I started freaking out because I picked up on this and it was so strong. I literally spun around and thought that someone was sneaking up on me because it was extremely dark. And I remember looking around and unfortunately there were these lampposts that instead of actually illuminating anything, they would kind of blind you because they were so bright. They would blind you. So I'd have to block out the lampposts just to see around it like who the hell is sneaking up on me. I kept looking because I could not shake this feeling. And I kept thinking, okay, I'm freaking myself out. I'm out here. It's dark. I'm alone. Someone could easily snatch me and no one would ever know it. You know what I mean? And so I just kind of, I was just like, okay, I'm freaking myself out, whatever. So in this time of noticing that I got this creepy, dread, fearful, dangerous feeling kind of creeping up on my neck, I'm looking around and I'm not seeing anybody. So I look up at the sky because I'm trying to get my mind off of this creepy feeling. So I look up at the sky and I notice there is no clouds. For Florida, there was no clouds. There was no moon. There was no stars. There was nothing. It was inky black. The best way I can describe it is when, you know, those puppeteers, when they dress up in black felt and they have a black felt background to do the puppetry. It was almost like that. It almost looked like felt. It was so dark, but there was a weird look about it. There was, like, again, no light whatsoever coming from the sky. There was no clouds, no moon, no stars, nothing. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with the sky? And I just thought it was insane. I'm just like, this is really weird. And I kept trying to not freak myself out, but I kept like, okay, again, the creepy feeling. What is that? So I take another look around, nobody. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Then I noticed, and all of this, and I'm dragging this out to explain it, but all of this is happening within half seconds of each other. So first I look up at the sky, nothing going on. And I'm like, what's going on? Then I noticed, and I've heard this from other people's encounters, there was no sound. Now, if you're anywhere near a pond, a canal, a lake, anything in South Florida, anything near a swampy area, you're going to hear toads croaking so loud, you can't even hear yourself think. So they had these croaky toads, and these toads were, rah, 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 you know, they were just croaking so loud just not a few seconds ago. So I'm, you know, a few seconds ago, I'm hearing the toads croaking. I'm hearing probably an alligator or two. I'm hearing dogs barking, people talking. I'm hearing the music from the home church. And I'm hearing cars going by. I'm hearing TVs from other places. I'm hearing all this noise. And then literally a half second later, no noise. It's like someone muted the entire planet. And that's when I started to go, okay, wait a minute here. What's going on? And I kept getting, and the creepy feeling is getting worse and worse and worse. So I'm literally standing there by this pond. One second, I'm like, okay, creepy feeling, look around, creepy feeling, look up at the sky, nothing, creepy feeling, no sound. Like I said, it was happening within half seconds of each other. So I'm freaking out at this point. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? What is stalking me? I'm thinking it's a person at this point. But I'm getting more and more creeped out as time goes on. So all of a sudden, I'm looking around, looking for a person about to jump out at me. And I notice to my right, not too far from me, this thin strip of clouds that wasn't there a half second ago. And I'm looking at these clouds, and I'm seeing what look at first to me to be spotlights. And I don't know if you've ever seen spotlights from the ground, you know, those big, gigantic spotlights that they have to pull on a dolly because they're so big. And there are three of them. There's three what I think are spotlights. Now, when I'm here in Los Angeles, and whenever you have the Oscars or any sort of award show or any sort of premiere, of course, they bring out the spotlights and they shine them all around, and you can see them beaming up, hitting the clouds, and you can see them. You can see them from far away even. But in this crappy little town in Florida that we were living in at the time, there was no Oscars or premieres or anything like that. So whenever we would see those, my mom would always say, oh, a car dealership's having a sale. That was her go-to when she saw those beams. She's like, oh, a car dealership's having a sale, and they're trying to, you know, sell cars, and they're trying to get attention so that they bring out the spotlight. So that's what I thought. So when I saw this tiny little thin strip of clouds, again, I'm creeped out. I'm like, what is going on? Like, there's something creepy, and I can feel it on the back of my neck, and I'm looking all around. I see these three lights that are moving in this formation. And the first second that I look at them, I go, oh, car dealership's having a sale, whatever. And I look away, and I'm still looking for a person about to jump out at me. Well, I'm looking around, and I swear, I looked away, and I no sooner looked away than I heard in my head, in my thoughts, look at the lights again. And it wasn't my thought. That was not my thought. My thought was, oh my God, some human person is sneaking up on me. So I turn and I look at the lights, at this thin strip of cloud with lights. And I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. Like, and some said, no, look at the lights. Like it wanted me to notice it. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I look up at those lights and I notice those lights are not, there's no beams going up to the lights. The lights, the spots are not hitting the clouds. They're inside the clouds. And they're very, very bright. When you see spotlights hit, you know, see the beams hitting the clouds, it's kind of faint, but you can still see it in the night sky. There were no beams going up to these clouds. There was no beams hitting the clouds from the bottom. These three lights were inside the clouds. When I really took a good look at them, that's what I noticed. these beams were, these lights, these spotlights were inside the clouds. And I watched them for, and like I said, it's all happening very quickly. So I watched them for a couple of seconds and I'm looking at them and these lights are very bright and there's no sound. Because I'm thinking, okay, airplane, you know, at night you see an airplane flying through the clouds and they've got a you know, lights on. You can see the lights going through the clouds. No, this is not an airplane. This is not a helicopter, a searchlight, nothing. This is something completely otherworldly. So these three lights are moving in such a formation that it's not humanly possible. Because I, you know, at that time, I'm starting to think, because Area 51 was starting to gain more of a reputation around that time because of X-Files and whatnot. This was like early to mid 90s. So everyone was watching X-Files. Everyone was talking about Area 51 and whatnot. So I was aware of that kind of thing. So I thought, is this experimental aircraft? What the hell? And I just, my mind is racing at this point. So I'm looking at these three lights moving in this very intricate, silent formation, very, very fast. And as soon as I look at that, I realize in my gut, I guess my intuition, that this is not a good thing. Something, immediately something sparked in me. Like, no, this is not a good thing. And I remember looking at those lights and I remember thinking, what is that? As soon as I thought that, these lights stopped moving right where they were in this sort of intricate formation. And then literally started to move in a perfect circle. And it was reacting to my thoughts. It was like putting on a little show for me. And it was moving in a circle, just perfectly, no sound, no nothing. And I'm looking at those lights and I immediately get a sense that whatever this thing is, it's not supposed to be there. So I look at these lights and it stopped. And as soon as I went, wait a minute, that's not right. It stopped, moved in a circle and was just going around a circle. Like it was just waiting for me. Like it was almost like it knew it wasn't supposed to be there. And sure enough, when I went, I looked at it and I went, that's not supposed to be there. There's something very wrong with this. Almost like how my mom felt, very nefarious, like it was up to no good. And I remember looking up at these three lights going around in a circle. And I remember as soon as I was kind of, it hit my gut that this was not a good thing. All of a sudden I heard again in my own head, not my thought, we're not supposed to be here, and we know you know it. And this thing said it in almost like a taunting kind of fashion. It was like, yeah, we're not supposed to be here, and we know you know it. So what are you going to do about it kind of thing? And I was just like, what? And I got so mad because it truly felt like this thing was trying to intimidate me. I thought, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. And so I got really mad, like it's anger. Kind of like this righteous anger kind of rose up in my gut. And I pointed at this thing and there was probably people watching me or someone heard me. I screamed at this thing and I said, you're not supposed to be here and you better get out of here. And of course my Christian sort of upbringing said in Jesus' name. So I said, you're not supposed to be here in Jesus' name. You get out of here. And this thing, the three lights sped up in a circle so fast and went and took off out of this cloud with no sound that. And it took off so fast that if my eyes weren't open and peeled, I would have missed it. It was that fast. Once that left, I then went, you know, I think I might go inside now. And so I ran inside the house and tried not to act like I was completely terrified, like I had just seen a UFO. And so I am literally sitting in a stair, there's like a staircase off to the side where it's away from everybody. And I'm sitting inside the staircase, hugging my knees and just wide-eyed, just freaking out, like, what did I just see? So my mother sees me come in the house and she knows me. My mom knows me very well. She came in the house and I came in the house and she saw me and she came around the corner. And she goes, what happened? And I said, I saw something. She said, okay, just calm down. She said, we're going to leave soon. And we're don't worry about it. You talk about it later. So we left, we went home. And my mom said, what happened to you? And I told her exactly what had happened. I said, Mom, I was standing there. I didn't want to be there. And then all of a sudden this thing, it came out of nowhere and blah, blah, blah. And I told her the whole thing. And she goes, okay. She goes in because of her encounter. And my mother was always very open-minded. She never disputed stuff like that. So she said, okay, I believe you. And we had a roommate named Mark. And Mark believed us. He said, yeah, I believe it. But my mother told me, she said, look, I believe you. Mark believes you. Do not say anything to the people that we go to church with, because they're going to say you brought the devil. You know what I mean? I was already the black sheep. I was already the odd duck. You know, I wasn't the one that kind of fell in line. So, of course, they're going to blame it on me. So my mom said, don't say anything to anybody. Just keep it to yourself. And I said, okay. So I said nothing to no one. So for the entire week, I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, am I nuts? Did I really see that? What's going on? I kept second guessing myself, kept thinking, okay, maybe I imagined it. Maybe blah, blah, blah. You know, I kept thinking of every reason why this couldn't have happened. So the very next weekend, actually, was the next home church meeting. So I don't want to stay outside. So I'm terrified. In fact, the whole week from when I had my encounter to when I went back there, I didn't even go outside. I was scared to death. I thought I made my mom and my roommate walk my dog because I was so scared to be outside. Because I thought, oh my God, they're going to come back for me. So I was terrified. So for that whole week, I was really, really paranoid because, and I kind of skipped over this part. Before I actually had this encounter, I had a really terrifying dream about UFOs trying to abduct me. So that was before this encounter. So I was putting two and two together going, oh my God, what if they're sending me signals and they're trying to come get me? And I'm like, no, you're crazy. Shut up. You're ridiculous. But I still was too scared to stay outside. So during the next home church meeting, I was inside where I thought I was safe, hopefully. And so I was there sitting there sulking, of course, because I didn't want to be there, but I didn't want to be outside either. I'm sitting there at the end of the couch and, you know, we go through the whole meeting and everything. We noticed that the kind of like sort of the beginning of the meeting, I had dated this guy who had these two parents that were very Christian-y. They were very Jesus camp Christians, very fundamental, very, you know, the only way I can describe it, they were the kind of Christians that they didn't have any other reading material in their house but the Bible. These people had no magazines. They had no newspapers. They only spoke about Christian subjects, and they never spoke of anything. These people did not believe in UFOs. They did not believe in ghosts. They were very, and the minute you mention something like that, oh, it's demons, it's blah, 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 blah. You know, you need to repent. You need to stop talking about that. Give the devil power and stuff. You know, they were very churchy, Christian-y, Jesus camp Christians. These people, again, did not believe in UFOs. In fact, one time when I was dating their stupid kid, their son, I went over there and I had a shirt on that had a dream catcher on the shirt. They made me take off the shirt. They wouldn't let me leave until I took off the shirt, and they burned it because dream catchers were of the devil. Okay. So these are the kind of people that I was dealing with. Well, in that time, I had already broken up with their kid, and we weren't even speaking. So these people, the husband, the father, was always very loud and boisterous. He was always like, hey, everybody, blah, 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 you know, and everyone knew, oh, okay, he's here. The wife was always very quiet. She's always very subservient. You know, she wore long dresses. She didn't, you know, she was friendly and she was engaging if you spoke to her, but she was very obedient to her husband. She was very, usually very quiet, kind of subdued person. So they came in looking like a couple of scared lab monkeys. They were terrified. They were holding on to each other. They had wide eyes, just like how I was when I first saw what I saw. They walked into the meeting and they weren't acting their usual selves. And everyone noticed. Everyone was like murmuring, do you see them? What's going on with them? You know, what's up with them? They're acting so weird. And the whole meeting, they acted like they were shell-shocked. They acted like they were terrified, like they had seen a ghost. And during the end, they stayed like this the entire meeting, which was very unusual for them. During the end of the meeting, the church meeting, we would get up and we would have food and drink and whatnot at a certain area, the kitchen-y area. And people would get up and eat and talk and blah, blah, blah. So this couple, my ex's parents, they didn't get up. They just stayed sat on the couch, terrified and clinging to each other. And so, of course, a few people said, okay, we got to find out what's going on because this is not normal. This is not how they normally act. Normally, they're actually quite social. They get up and they talk and they eat and they, you know, converse. They weren't getting up. They were just literally sitting there on the couch, terrified. So a bunch of people kind of got the nerve to talk to them. And they said, hey, guys, you doing okay? What's up with you? And they started the story, and I'll tell you verbatim what they said. And I'm sitting on the end of the couch, trying not to even look at them, because they're mad at me because I dumped their kid because he was stupid and crazy. So they hated me. So I was just sitting there trying not to even look at them. I was just trying to mind my own business. But I couldn't ignore the fact that they looked terrified. So they said to these people that asked them, you know, hey, you guys doing okay? They immediately kind of forced themselves out of a stupor. And they looked up at these people and they said, we saw something. And they couldn't stop saying it. They were so terrified. They were stuck in a loop. And the people that were asking them said, okay. What's happening? What would you see? So this is what they said. So the night that I had seen the lights and didn't say anything to anyone, we went home. They drove home from the same meeting. And when they were driving home, and their house was a little bit further than ours, probably about 10, 15 minutes away. When they were driving home, they said that something very heavy and metallic landed on the roof of their truck. Now, their truck is a little tiny Econo 80s, early 80s Toyota, very tiny little truck. And they said that something sounded like a heavy, like, you know, like a long time ago, we used to have metal trash cans instead of these plastic wheelie bins that we have now. So they said it sounded like that. They said something heavy metallic landed on the roof of their car. And they said that it sounded like a heavy metal trash can landed with a big clang on the roof of their car. And they said, and they didn't see anything, but this particular thing, whatever landed on their roof, they said, try to pick up their car for at least a half a mile. Now, they're terrified because these are Jesus camp, Christian-y people. There's, you know, for me and my mom, we're more open-minded. If there's UFOs, hey, there's UFOs, whatever. But these people have said it in their minds, there's no such thing as UFOs. So they're completely terrified because everything that's not Jesus and God and angels, it's always the devil with them. So this thing, and these people were missionaries, this thing scared the crap out of them. And they said for a half mile, and they did, of course, what their Christian, you know, sort of lifestyle dictated to them was to war in the spirit, you know, pray against whatever had landed on their car, was trying to pick it up. And they said they sat there and they said, you know, in Jesus' name, let us go, blah, 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 blah. You know, so these people are praying frantically for this thing to leave them alone and let them go. They said after and this thing literally tried to pick up. So the front end of their truck is going up and down. And they said that after about a half mile of this thing struggling, trying to pick up the car and then trying to pray it away, it finally gave up and unhooked itself from the car, the truck that they had. And the front of the car kind of landed with a bit of a thud, but the thing took off and I guess flew away. I don't know, but that's what they said. And that's all I remember them saying. They after that, they couldn't say anymore. They were like, we don't know what happened. We were just driving and all of a sudden the thing sounded like a heavy metal trash can landed on the roof of our car and for a half mile tried to pick it up. And it did pick it up a little bit. It was trying to, like, the front end was going up and down and we were praying it. Finally, the thing gave up and unlatched itself and flew away. And they were still, a week later, still completely terrified. They were to the point where they were zombified. They were petrified. They were, I don't even know what else to say. Their whole world and everything they knew or what they thought was real or reality was completely shaken. Because when you think about it, when we wake up every day, whether you're Christian or not, or this or that, we make up our reality. We say, okay, even subconsciously, I'm going to believe in this today. And then when you have a paranormal encounter, it throws all of that out of balance. You don't know what to believe at that point, you know, because everything you told yourself, everything that people have told you now is out the window. So that's how they were reacting. Their whole world came to a screeching halt. And then all of a sudden they had this paranormal roadblock that they got over, and then they were like, what was that? So they were completely shell-shocked. Now, after this particular meeting, we kind of stopped going to that, and we didn't really go back. And so we lost touch with them and everyone. And these people, I lost contact with them, so I don't know what happened to them afterwards. I don't know if they got more Christian-y, you know, they kind of, they went the other way and thought, oh my gosh, you know, because Christians tend to blame themselves if something bad happens to them. Oh no, we didn't go to church that one Sunday, so the devil's attacking us. I didn't read my Bible this morning, so the devil's attacking me. So I always wondered, how did they handle this after that one night? Did they become more Christian? Did they say, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we need to read the Bible more. Or we need to go to more church. Or we, you know what I mean? Or did it wake them up? Did they say, okay, you know what? Now we're different because we've seen weird stuff. And you know what? Maybe there is stuff out there that we can't explain. Maybe there is stuff out there that is beyond, you know, our understanding. And, you know, that was my UFO encounter. You know, I saw something, I saw the lights, and then, a week later, I find out that on the very same night, the very Christian-y parents of my ex-boyfriend actually had a physical encounter with something. So going back to my original dream or nightmare, I'll tell you that. So like about a week before I had this encounter, I had this dream of these aliens that looked like kind of like 50s movie B-movie aliens. They looked very silly, but they all had people clothes on, human clothes. And so they were willing me, they were literally outside my house, and they were willing me outside with their minds. Now their pull was so strong that my mother and my roommate were like pushing on me, trying to keep me in the house, and I was just walking right through them. It was like, whatever it is, this thing controlled me. So I have this weird nightmare that literally, well, I woke up in a cold sweat. And then a week later, I see these lights in the sky. So that is my story. That is my UFO encounter.
Did you ever see any damage to their truck?
No, I never saw any damage. I don't know if they talked about it. I just remember them recounting what they said. But I never saw damage to their truck or anything like that. It was nighttime. And like I said, after that, we never really saw them much after that particular night. So I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. I'm not sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those weird, you know, you have like lots of paranormal encounters. Like, I mean, I've got tons of ghost stories. I've got tons of this and tons of that. But this one encounter with the UFOs is something that I will never forget. I can still remember it as clear as it was yesterday. You know, if it was yesterday, it was just one of those, you know, before, like in your life, you have that paranormal encounter and you remember, okay, my life before this encounter and my life after the encounter, you know, it's one of those where it just kind of, it made a very solid mark in my life.
Do you want to start at the very beginning when you were a child and how you dealt with being an empath?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was growing up, my paranormal encounters started very, very early on. I was a baby, and I was having paranormal encounters, I guess, out of body encounters, something. I don't even know what you would even call it. Still to this day, I don't even know what to call those sort of earlier experiences. But I had two encounters where I felt like I was out of body, and I was looking at myself, and I was flying around the room. It was just really very strange stuff that it's almost hard for me to admit because it's so bizarre. But yeah, I mean, I had these weird encounters. And, you know, growing up in the era that I grew up in, late 70s, early 80s, you know, like I said before, I didn't have any references. I didn't have TV shows. I didn't have books. I didn't have movies. I didn't have anything at that time. And so if you talked about this kind of stuff, you were viewed as just a goofy weirdo. So I kept a lot of stuff to myself. I didn't know, I didn't even know what I was going through. I had two trains of thought at that time growing up. Before I learned what this was, I thought, okay, number one, either everyone goes through this, or either I'm just going through this. And if I'm just going through this, am I crazy? You know, am I abnormal in some way? Is there something wrong with me? Because I didn't have any reference. I didn't have any books to go, you know, I didn't have TV shows like Psychic Kids, you know, where I go, oh, okay, I'm psychic. Great. Okay. Got it. And then I can just go along with my life. I just had one horrible, scary, terrifying encounter after another. Couldn't explain any of it. You know, when I had, you know, sort of these sort of negative entities, I just said, oh, there's monsters. I mean, that's what my little
you know, brain, my little kid brain would just kind of associate those things with. I didn't know what to think. And so, growing up, I just grew up really confused, really scared, very unsure, and just really just very tormented because I would walk into a room, and whether it was a party, restaurant, school, it didn't matter. I would, if there was creepy, you know, even just everyday vibes from people, I would feel everything and just be so attacked, I guess you would say, or inundated, you know, just completely clobbered by these people's energy. And I didn't know how to shut it off. So I was just terrified. My encounter started very, very, very early. And like I said, I had no idea what to do, where to put this in my head, you know, where to sort of label these things. So my first real sort of encounters that I can remember that I literally thought is, you know, what is going on here was my stepmother. My father remarried when I was about 3 years old. And he married this woman who lived in this condo townhome in this one area of Florida that we lived in. And I remember it was very oddly shaped, and it had this downstairs apartment. And you had to walk past this one apartment to get to my stepmother's place. And this place, for all the world, looked like a demon lived there. And it wasn't the furnishings. It wasn't anything like that. But even as a little kid, I would just shudder every time I would have to walk by this place. You would just get the creeps. There was so much negative, evil, and energy coming out of this one apartment. And strangely, all through the years that I lived or was staying at this one at my stepmother's apartment, this place forever had a for sale sign, a for rent sign. Nobody would stay in this place. They would rent it for a few months, then the people would move out. They would sell it, and then the people would move out. Nobody would stay there for more than a few months. And I always thought that was so strange. And putting two and two together, I'm starting to realize, you know, through the years, like, maybe there was something going on there. And they just, you know, paranormal-wise, and they couldn't take it. They just got the hell out of there. So who knows? But whatever it was coming over to my stepmother's apartment. I remember being a little kid, 2 and 3, 4 years old, laying there in the dark on the pull-out sofa and having this thing, whatever it was, whisper in my ear. It would lay down or sit down on the bed beside me. It would pull off the covers in the middle of the night. It would kick the bed. It would literally, like, it felt like it had long fingernails, like sharp fingernails, and it would pull on my feet. And it would sort of like grab at my feet all night long. And so I started wearing my socks to bed because I thought that that would protect me from the foot monster. And so I told my stepmom and my dad, I said, yeah, there's a foot monster and it keeps pulling my feet. And they laughed and laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. There's a freaking monster pulling on my feet. And I was trying to get it through to them that there was something paranormal happening here. Well, when I got older, around 10 or so, maybe like 8, 9, 10, I started telling my stepmother, I said, yeah, I think there's something, because I saw something on TV about ghosts. This is when we started talking a little bit more. This was like, you know, early, like mid-80s, we're starting to talk about ghosts and not be scared to talk about ghosts. You know, people are starting to actually bring this stuff up. Like, yeah, I got a ghost in my house. And you know, of course, people, there was the people that would make fun of them, the skeptics, but there was also, you know, people like the Warrens that were there on the front lines kind of helping these people. So in any case, you know, I started to try to talk to my stepmother and say, yeah, you know, I've been attacked all these years. And of course, she completely dismissed it, didn't believe it. And I said, you know, I was kind of telling her, I was like, yeah, I don't want to believe it either, but it's real. It's really happening. I'm really being attacked. And she just didn't believe me. Not a word. So that was not helpful to not, you know, to go to your parents and say, hey, I'm having a problem. And of course, they're not even listening to you. So that was not comforting. These attacks, they would continue, especially at night. I would even get them during the day where I would be walking around the apartment and I could feel something rush up to me. Like someone would rush up to me and I could feel a rush, like a wind, either going by me or going right up to me. It was literally just all day, all night. I never had peace in that apartment ever. My father, he was not really around much, so I really couldn't tell him much. But my stepmother, I tried to tell her, she wouldn't budge. She wouldn't even hear of it. Her mother and her father lived in Miami. So we used to go to Miami a lot. and I spent a lot of my summers down there. Her apartment, or her house, their house, was actually very, very haunted as well. There was something in the back bedroom. I don't know what it was, but something chased me clear out of that room and down the hall and into the kitchen. And they were all sitting in the kitchen, and I run into the kitchen, and I'm like, and they're like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "There's something chasing me." And of course, they thought, "Oh, little kid having, you know, imaginations running wild." They didn't believe that. So I didn't know what else to do. So I was terrified. And of course, that was in that house in Miami is where I had one of my scariest encounters. I literally, my father was at this point divorcing the second wife. And so I was about 8, 9 years old, about 9 or so. And I would literally just do my best to get some sleep in that house. Again, it was like the apartment, like my stepmother's apartment. So one night I'm having a lot of trouble sleeping because I'm really going through a lot over this divorce. It's really bothering me. I really don't want to be there. I actually want to be home, and I'm not feeling settled. So my grandmother, bless her heart, came into the room, and she slept on on the bed next to me, and I'm still having trouble sleeping. I managed to doze off. And then all of a sudden I wake up with just a frightening, horrifying, like, why am I awake? And I'm sitting on my elbows looking around this room, and I can see the room perfectly. I don't see anything, but I know something isn't right. I know something is lingering in the, in the half lit light of the room. And I'm sensing something. Even as a little kid, I'm sensing something. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What is this evilness that's just watching me? And I remember in my mind, I guess I would say, I kind of felt this presence. And to this day, it kind of looked like Voldemort. It was kind of bald and not much of a face. And it had this sort of long, dark cloak. And it was standing at the end of the bed just watching me. And I remember, now I was awake. It wasn't sleep paralysis where I woke up and I couldn't breathe. I was awake, and I'm looking at this thing in my mind. I can't see it with my eyes, but I can see it with my mind. And I'm looking right at this thing, and all of a sudden, it literally felt like something was sucking all of the air out of my lungs. I could not breathe, and I'm starting to panic. And I'm starting in this moment. Here I am, 9 years old, thinking, "Okay, this is it. This is how I'm going to die." And I remember freaking out. And I remember my mother, who had become a Christian at this point, she was kind of talking to me about God and whatnot. And I wasn't really very Christian-y. And I remember I'm laying there, and I'm literally gasping for air. And I'm paralyzed, literally to my fingertips. I'm paralyzed. And I'm trying even the tiniest bit of strength to kind of kick my grandmother to try to get her to help me. And I couldn't move. Not 1 inch of me could move. And I remember laying there looking all around the room thinking, okay, this is it. I'm going to die. I mean, my life flashed before my eyes. And I remember I literally just started praying like, okay, God, if you're so helpful, like my mom tells me you are, please help me. This will be a good time. So I started to literally just pray any old way I knew how. And within seconds, I felt like I was released. I could breathe. The air came back into my lungs. I was like, oh my God. And I'm just gasping, and I'm just sitting there. And of course, I can't sleep for the rest of the night, because what if Voldemort comes back? So I'm literally laying there going, what the hell was that? That was that encounter. I soon leave, not a few days after that, and I go back to my stepmother's apartment. And I'm like, great, more craziness, more nonsense. And so eventually my father moved out. He got his own apartment, and I then moved in with him, and it was still kind of more of the same. It seemed like no matter where we moved to, we always had some sort of paranormal, even if it was just a creepy vibe, it was still some kind of weird paranormal thing. And I think what happened was, when you have apartments and condos and townhomes that share walls with people, God only knows what is coming through those walls. And I've noticed that every single place that I lived that I had walls, especially that you were sharing with people, those places had a lot of weird activity. So that was that. I remember
my mother and I, when I went to live with my mom, I was about 14. And my mom and I lived in my father's new wife's condo. There was another wife in another condo. So we moved into this condo, and there was this back bedroom again that felt really creepy, and it was sharing walls with this teenager, and there was something very wrong. You would feel like someone was sitting there just watching you. You could almost see someone sitting in the chair watching you. It was really, really bad. It was very thick. I don't know if people who are sensitive enough, you walk into a place that's got paranormal activity and you could just feel it in the air. And so I walked into this, townhome, and I would just get the creeps. I didn't want to be in there by myself. And I remember one night we had a roommate, and I remember this roommate named Mark. He always had migraines. He always had headaches, and he was always taking Advil. And my mom kept this Advil in a cabinet, and the cabinet was in the master bedroom where I was sleeping. So I'm sleeping there, and I hear this rummaging in the middle of the night. So I look up, and I sit up on my elbows, and I can see perfectly in the room because there's plenty of light coming in, and I can see what looks like Mark. It looks like him. He's got a beard. It's like dark. He has dark hair, beard, mustache, everything. And I could see him perfect. I could even see his eyes. I could see his eyebrows. I could see everything on his face. And I he's being very noisy. And I'm like, what is going on? And I look up and I say, Mark, what are you doing? And he looks at me, turns around, looks at me, and then vanishes into thin air. Now, to this day, I don't know what that was. I don't know if there's some sort of doppelganger entity that will mimic people living or dead. I don't know. I've heard of somewhat similar stories. But yeah, I mean, that was another encounter that I had. And then I had several other encounters. But I had an encounter here in Los Angeles. I'll just talk about my most recent encounter. I moved to a place near Burbank called Toluca Lake. And I moved there in 2012. I was really excited to live there. This was my first adult, apartment. Here I am. I'm an adult. I'm living on my own in Los Angeles. I'm a filmmaker. I'm doing it. I'm so proud of myself. I'm like, yeah, So I was joking with my friends the other night, and I said, when empaths go to look at homes or apartments, what we do is we walk through the first time with the realtor or the leasing agent or whatever. And then we do the empath walkthrough, where is like we tell the leasing agent or the realtor, hey, look, can I just go walk through by myself? And of course, they're always like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so you do that empathic walk around where you put your antenna up and you kind of walk around going, okay, any demons in here? You kind of put your antenna up to see if you pick up on anything. And if you do, you get the heck out of there. And if you don't, then you could live there. So that's pretty much what empaths do. When you're an empath and you walk through a new house or something, you always do that walkthrough by yourself because you just want to make sure there's no demons, lurking in the corners. So I did the empathic walkthrough of this one apartment, and it felt fine. It felt perfect, actually. I didn't feel anything weird. I really felt very peaceful there. And I was reluctant about sharing walls with people, but I thought, I got no choice. This is really affordable and it's nice. I then moved in around 2011. I think it was November of 2011. So I move in and I make the place my own, and it's great. I'm happy. I'm struggling in Los Angeles, but who doesn't? And it's Los Angeles in and of itself, like we were talking about, is very kind of heavy and oppressive. It's got a very heavy energy to it. You have to have a very thick skin. If you're sensitive at all or an empath, don't live in LA because it's very harsh. It's got a harsh energy to it. So, I'm trying to make it through my life, and, things are, I got good times and I got bad times, but I'm out here and I'm doing it. Well, around 2013, I would say, this new family moved in across the hallway from me, and I didn't really care for their energy. They were really mean to their dogs. They were really mean to their kid. But when you see them, they seem nice. They said, oh, hello. They're very pleasant to you, but they just didn't have good energy. Strangely, around this time, as soon as they move in, I start sensing a weird presence in my apartment. Now, here I am just trying to make it through life. I'm not focusing on anything paranormal. I'm just trying to, you know, get a 9-to-5 and work and pay my bills and pay my rent and try to get my film stuff going. So I'm living the life. I'm doing what I got to do. And every time I walk my dogs and come back, and I'm not gone that long, but every time I walk my dogs around the corner and come back, I could swear that someone had just been in my apartment. So I start getting that creepy feeling on the back of my neck, like, who the hell is in my apartment? Because that place, I never really had any roommates. I never had, you know, so it was just my energy that kind of filled that place. But I started to feel like someone else was in the freaking apartment with me. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? So every time I would come back from walking my dogs, I would have to go through the entire apartment because it felt for all the world like I had someone, like someone had snuck in and was hiding. So I got to the point where I was checking under beds. I was checking in cabinets. I was checking in closets. I was checking in showers behind the shower curtain. You know, I was checking everywhere. Could not find a physical person. But my God, I felt like someone was in my apartment. So when I started walking my dogs, I started locking my door behind me and then coming back thinking, okay, I locked the door. Nobody can come in. Because I started thinking, well, maybe if I left my door unlocked, someone would come in and leave. No, nothing. No, nobody was in my apartment. But yet every single time I would come to my apartment, I would feel a very strong presence. And it was creepy as hell. It knew it wasn't supposed to be there, but I could feel it lingering. It got so uneasy. I didn't even want to be there anymore. I didn't even want to leave my dogs there during the day when I went to work or left. It was a creepy feeling. It was like, what the hell's going on? I couldn't put my finger on it. I kept telling myself I was crazy, imagining things, but I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't shake it. It was a creepy, weird feeling. I noticed at night I would see shadows. Keep telling myself, okay, you're crazy. You're just imagining things. My dog, I have a little doggy named Winston. And surprisingly, he's deaf. I kept noticing a weird area in my bedroom because I would watch TV at night. And I would notice a weird area in my bedroom that I kept sensing something was in that corner. And I didn't know. I kept telling him, no, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're imagining, you're crazy. But yet Winston, my dog, would always look at that corner. And he would always look and he'd tilt his head like he was looking at something, like he was acknowledging something. So I thought, God dang it, you know, please don't let this be what I think it is, you know, because the minute he started picking up on it, I thought, crap, I got a ghost in my apartment. But I didn't want to say anything. I was like, no. What happened was finally it got to be so strong and my TV kept cutting off, like just out of nowhere. I would just be sitting there and the TV would cut off. And I'm like, okay, don't freak out. Turn on the TV. And I turn on the TV and it would cut off again. And this TV would not stay on. Until I finally got so mad, I thought, okay, if this is a ghost, I'm cussing it out. So I told this thing, I said, okay, I get it, okay? And then the TV would stay on. But it almost seemed like it was almost like playing a joke or something. Like it was getting a big kick out of this. And I was getting pissed off because I'm like, I want to see the TV show. And it kept turning off. So finally, it was so strong that I finally had to acknowledge it somewhat. So I'm just kind of like, okay, maybe there's something in my apartment, maybe not. So one night I'm sitting there and Winston is laying on my lap and I'm sitting there. There's no TV on. There's only one little light. And I'm sitting there and I'm just playing with his ears and I'm talking to him and blah, 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 you know. And all of a sudden I just happen to look up and I see this sort of misty, black, smoky vapor that kind of forms right in front of me. And it's dark. It's not gray. It's not white. It's a dark mist, smoky kind of. And it literally forms into a shadow of like a, you know, like I see like a person's legs. And it kind of glides about 2 or 3 feet and then just dissipates. And when I saw that, I freaked out because all my life being an empath, picking up on stuff, I have never seen anything with my eyes. I saw the UFO with my eyes, but I've never seen a ghost or a spirit or entity, nothing with my eyes. Now I finally, after however many years, here I am 33, 34 years old, and I'm finally seeing something with my own eyes. So this freaked me out, and I jumped up, and I tried to debunk it right away. I'm like, okay, maybe I was moving, and you know, no. There was no way I could debunk this thing. And that freaked me out even more. So I didn't know what to do, so I got my dogs, and I took... And it was very cold that night and it was dark and it was late. I had work the next day and I'm panicking because I'm outside freezing my butt off, you know, walking my dogs around the block 20 times, trying to figure out what the hell. And I've got no one, nowhere to stay. I've got no one to talk to. I don't really know what to do. So I put on my big girl panties and I went back to the house and I said, okay, I'm going to pray through this place and I'm going to have to go back to sleep. And so I went and I said a prayer through the whole place and told whatever it was, you're not welcomed here. You need to leave. And I felt somewhat better, not by much. And I slept with the lights on that night. So that's what happened. So I slept with the lights on and I slept with the lights on for a few nights after that. But it was one of those things where I just didn't have really anyone to talk to about it. Cause I, you know, didn't know a lot of people at that time. So I just kept it to myself. I didn't say anything. Finally, with the TV shutting off and the shadow and the this and the that and all these different things, I finally said, okay, fine. If I'm such a medium empath person, then I'm going to be able to know what the hell is in my own apartment. And this is where I kind of finally had to really sit down and acknowledge it. So I sat there at the end of my bed and I just got real quiet and I did my empath thing where I just kind of put my antenna up and I just said, okay, there's anything here. Who are you? What are you doing? What's going on? And I saw this image. Now, I'm not a horror movie person. I don't watch horror movies. It's just not my thing. But, you know, watching TV, you do happen to see advertisements for scary movies. So I ended up seeing in my mind's eye, I'm seeing this image of this girl, which looks like the girl, I guess, and I think it's from The Ring. She has her hair in her face and she's got like dark hair in her face and she's got like a hospital gown on. So I'm seeing this image and I'm thinking I'm nuts because I'm thinking, okay, I saw this on a commercial. There's a movie, I think, and there's this girl and she's in the movie and blah, 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 whatever. Okay, fine. So I'm thinking I'm just seeing it from that, but I keep seeing this image and I start trying to talk to it. I'm like, okay, who are you? What do you want? What are you doing here? I can't help you. I don't know what you want. And this thing seemed like it was trying to respond. It was trying to talk to me, but it couldn't. It just seemed like this thing was catatonic. It almost seemed like a mental patient that had been lobotomized, you know, someone that just would not respond. It was just not responsive, trying to respond, but not able to. And I kept getting this very strange, and I mean, maybe I'm nuts, but I kept getting this strange sort of backstory of the people that had just moved in. It felt like she had maybe had an aunt or a grandmother or something, some kind of distant relative that may have attached itself to her. And this woman was like an aunt or a cousin or some, you know, distant sort of older distant relative that maybe was committed at some point. But that was for some reason following her around. And for some reason, because I'm an empath, this thing comes over to my apartment. She's like, hey, let's hang out. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I've always been a medium. If someone died or something, I could always tell wherever I went. So this thing, I guess, thought that, oh, hey, you can see me. Let's talk. And I'm like, yeah, no. So I'm seeing this image of this girl from the movie The Ring. And I'm like, why am I seeing this image? This is ridiculous. This is crazy. I'm nuts. I'm crazy. So I'm disputing. So everything that I'm feeling at this point, I'm just throwing out the window. I'm like, no, I'm crazy. No. Okay. So I leave that alone. And so I have a friend named Joe. And Joe at the time was homeless and he was kind of going from place to place. And he, about a week after I'd seen this image, he said, hey, can I crash on your couch for a few days? And I was like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I go pick him up and I bring him back to my place and he's laying on the couch and the poor guy's falling asleep. He's so tired. And so I'm going through the rundown. I'm like, okay, you know, if you need to use bathroom, there it is. Raid the fridge if you want, whatever. I don't care. So I gave him a blanket and I gave him a pillow. And I said, if you need anything, let me know. I'm right down the hall. So I had a weird feeling and I don't know what this feeling was, but I didn't feel settled. I felt weird. He was my friend and I didn't mind that he was in my apartment, but I felt like something was objecting. He shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be here. And I'm like, why am I feeling this feeling? It's my friend Joe. I don't care if he's here. I don't care if he stays, you know, for weeks. I don't care. He's a cool guy. So I just kept getting this weird feeling like he's not supposed to be here. He's not supposed to be here. I'm just like, okay, whatever. This is so weird. So I get into bed and I no sooner pull the covers up to my chin when I hear from the living room this blood curdling, Marie, 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 just screaming my name. So I jump out of bed and I race out there, out to the living room. And I'm like, what? What's happening? What's happening? And he's sitting on the edge of the couch And he's literally sitting on the couch, you know, just gasping for air. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? And he says, I was just attacked. And I look at the front door thinking it's something physical. I'm thinking that door is bolted, double bolted. There's no way something could have gotten in here. He said, no, 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 no. And he finally catches his breath. He said, no, something attacked me. He said, as soon as you left the room, he said, I felt the energy of the room change. And he was a bit empathic himself. And he said, I felt the energy of the room change. Something weird entered the room and it was not a good feeling. And he said, I all of a sudden looked up. I opened my eyes because he's laying down at this point. He opens his eyes and he sees the same girl from The Ring. He sees that, you know that movie, The Ring? You know that girl? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I see her above me, floating above me. And he literally said, okay, I'm not here to hurt Marie. And he said, as soon as he said that, he felt hands going up to his throat. He felt all the air out of his lung, being sucked out of his lungs, and he was gasping for air, much like how I was many years earlier. And he said, he's like, and then as soon as he screamed my name, he said he screamed my name with the last little bit of air that he had in his lungs. And as soon as he did, he said, this girl turned around and flew out the window. Then that's when I came rushing out. So it was then that I realized, okay, thing is in my apartment. Someone else has seen it. It's not just me. It had to be confirmed. And just like the UFO story, you know, I kept sitting there, second guessing myself, saying there's no way, no way, no way. And then finally someone else has to see it before I finally go, okay, it's real. And so that's what happened to me in Los Angeles. That's been sort of my latest counter that I've had, the big one anyways. And so, that's my story. That's what I got.
I think seeing the girl in The Ring is the stuff of nightmares.
It is, yeah. And then too, it's for me, I'm not used to seeing stuff like that because I don't watch scary movies. So why would I see this? And then my friend saw the same thing and I'd never mentioned anything to him. So yeah, that was terrifying. I never checked with that lady because I wasn't really on speaking terms with her, but to see the same thing for two different people. And strangely, my ex, I broke up. I started dating someone right after this encounter, about a couple months later. I started dating someone, he moved in, we were, building a life together. And I don't know if it was just time for him to go through what he was going through. I'm not sure, but he was a narcissistic sociopath. So that right there, he was hiding that. But then he also had very severe PTSD from being a combat vet. And I don't know what it was, but as soon as he moved in, he immediately started acting very erratic, very violent, very angry, hostile. He literally, within a span of just a few months, turned into a complete stranger. I didn't even recognize him. And I eventually I was so scared of him, I told him to leave and we had to break up. But I often wonder if there was something in that apartment triggered what was already in his brain, latent. I don't know, because I did continue to have paranormal encounters. There was one night where he was laying there, dead to the world. And I'm literally hearing someone walking around the room and there's no one. There's like a light coming through the window and I can't see anyone, but I can hear them and I can hear their footsteps on the floor. And I'm like, babe, get up, And he's like, what, huh? What? And literally I'm listening to someone walking around the room and I can't see anyone. And then there was another time where, again, the TV was cutting off. It was getting really annoying. And funny, the TV would only cut off with me in the room by myself. It would not do it when my ex was there. So I remember one night he worked at the studios and he was coming home very, very late. He texts me. He says, okay, I'm coming home soon. Well, this one night he was extra, extra late. And I'm literally laying there. I'm getting a creepy feeling. I'm not feeling good at all. There's something wrong. And it's not him, but I know there's something not right in the apartment. And I'm trying to watch TV, trying to calm myself down. And the TV is cutting off. And I'm like, okay, I know he's coming home soon. So I close my eyes and I can see the TV through my eyelids. And I literally can see somebody, a human-shaped figure, walking across the TV. And as soon as it leaves the TV shuts off just like that. I bolt out of bed, and no sooner than I saw that thing and the TV cut off, I heard my ex coming in. And I ran to the door. I was like, "Oh, thank God you're here!" But yeah, I mean, it was terrifying that whole time being in that apartment. You know, like the first year and a half or so, I was fine. First 2 years, I was fine. But I don't know what happened. Something came into that apartment. So I think it blows all those things out of the water where it says, "Oh, someone has to die in this house or apartment, or someone has to do witchcraft or, you know, some kind of voodoo, Satanism or something to open a door to bring in." I don't think you have to do anything to bring stuff in. I think if it sees you and it wants to come in, it'll do it, you know, and that's what happened. And I guess this thing, whatever it was attached to this lady, maybe. It saw me and saw that I was a medium, because I kind of get that, where I kind of walk into a place and if there's some kind of entity or something, it's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" You know, it's like, "Oh, hey, she can see us. Let's talk to her," you know? So I get that kind of, that sort of thing, you know, where if you're a medium or an empath, if there's an entity around, it definitely acknowledges you. So maybe that's what drew it in. I don't know. I did everything I could. Strange thing was, I'm the one that people call when they have a haunting, and I help them with the haunting. But for some reason, I could not freely admit this, and I, because I don't know why this happened, but I could not deal with my own haunting. I did everything I could: holy water, Bible scriptures, blessed salt, Florida water, everything I knew to do. And this thing would not leave me alone. This thing would just follow me. And thankfully, when I left that apartment, it I guess it stayed there, because I haven't seen it since. So yeah, that's my story so far.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. You know, I've gotten to the place where it's like, I know what I've seen. I know what I've been through. If you don't believe me, I really don't give a crap. I know what I've seen, and I'm going to share my story. And if you don't like it, go over there. Go be skeptical somewhere else. Not that skepticism is bad, because I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical of what I feel. And I think skepticism is actually very healthy. But it goes to that point where if you go too far and you don't believe anything, then you shut stuff out. Then, you know what I mean? I don't think it's healthy in that sense. I think you need to be somewhat, open-minded.